Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks On Holiday Shopping List. For more links and news we talk about on the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com. Happy Hanukkah!
Hello, my geeklings!
Nice, Aaron.
Happy Hanukkah!
Happy Hanukkah!
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing
wrong with that. An Oisha, an Moisha, an Plotchnik. Sorry, never mind.
I'm half Jewish. We're allowed to say that.
Welcome to a very holiday Geeks On.
Excellent.
Say the word. No war on Christmas on Geeks On.
Exactly.
Christmas!
My name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a graphic designer and filmmaker here in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
My name is Donald Marshall. I am a video game producer and writer in Los Angeles, and I, too, am a geek.
Note that Don has been upgraded.
Don Mark II.
Hi, I'm Peter Robbins, and I'm a screenwriter here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
Hi, my name is Matt King. I am an actor here in Los Angeles, and I, too, am a geek.
Hey, this is Lisa. I'm a film editor here in LA, and I'm a giant geek.
Yay! As you may have noticed, we have Lisa here today. Yeah. Woohoo!
And there was much rejoicing.
Yeah, so those of you who've written to me saying that you wanted Lisa back on the show and that I should drop out so she could take my place, you only get half your wish.
Yes.
My email went through.
Lisa is the fifth geek element.
Exactly.
The fifth element is Lisa.
Anybody have a decent geek week?
I had a really funny geek week because I ended up doing a bunch of voiceovers for Hot Wheels commercials.
No way!
So all of the Saturday morning cartoons I was channeling into this one, like, really cool Hot Wheels new four-drive set. You've got to buy it. And it was this,
wow.
It was this wonderful sort of harkening back to my own childhood. Like, I get to do that voice finally, and get kids to buy the new Octopus playset.
Wow,
it was
cool.
Just so much fun.
So awesome.
Cool. What about you, Don? Anything geeky?
Let's see. I bought Viva Pinata. Didn't have time to play it. I bought Rumble Roses, played it for 15 minutes. I've seen all the cutscenes I need to see. I can now sell it.
Why do you insist on purchasing the shit video games and leaving the great titles on the shelf?
Perhaps there's a pattern to my purchases. Perhaps they're all fighting games.
Oh, man.
Don is looking for the one glimmer.
I need my fix, and there's no fighting games out now.
Nothing.
Just play Soul Calibur over and over.
Have you played?
I mean, it's nothing new anyway.
Soul Calibur 3 isn't terribly interesting.
Have you played Fight Night even though you hate it?
Yeah, I don't like it very much.
Really? Okay.
Well, I mean, I like it, but
it doesn't have old Japanese schoolgirls with their underwear
showing. Can't kick anyone.
Yeah,
I want to kick someone.
It's true.
Don, you won't try games like Gears of War or Blue.
I'm going to go get Gears of War today.
All right. We're talking, and we'll play together.
And now that Time Warner has come in and kicked the crap out of my cable company, I actually have a decent cable connection to my house now.
Oh,
it's very nice. It's very exciting.
Lisa and I have been continuing our adventure of Gears of War, which is getting better and better.
Yeah,
I mean,
really.
The game is just crazy fun.
It is. It is.
You lie.
It is the most action-packed, intense. It's, like, really hard to stop playing.
Aaron, you're lying.
It's fun.
You've played your garden game. I've seen you. Now?
That's Maureen. Maureen now has taken over the Xbox.
I heard you talking. You sounded like a 9-year-old Japanese girl.
I love this. Aaron's wife, Maureen, does not play video games by and large. But when she does, she tends to get a little dedicated to the game she's playing. So when I heard that she had printed out the encyclopedia for this game, I was touched. A tear came to my eye.
Yeah, she's actually evolving now. Her creatures now evolve into other creatures.
What are some of those creatures called, Aaron?
Mouse mellows.
He just wanted to hear him say
serpent.
He's trying to make him say
it's like a non-violent Pokemon.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Maureen, by
Mouse
the way,
mellow,
is the
I choose you.
The Pinata hotline for me because she's got all the answers.
Right.
Well, she printed out the encyclopedia.
I know.
Now I know who to go to that I've picked. I'll start playing it. Either that or Gears of War. We'll see what
Gears
I actually drift towards.
Come on, man. Gears of War.
You've got to play Gears of War co-op, though. I'm telling you, if you don't play the storyline with a buddy, I think that you won't
get the full experience.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah, something
definitely.
I did do this week, I actually sacrificed 4 hours of sleep and went to work as a drone all day long. Civilization 4 Warlords I picked up. Which is the expansion pack to Civ. It adds new military elements. It adds new world wonders that you can build. And best of all, it adds new... You know how every nation has a very specific military unit that only they can create?
Yeah.
Well, now every civilization also has a specific building that they can develop.
Oh. Like a world wonder that they can develop?
No, new like a... I can't remember what the name was. I played as the Koreans, and they don't get universities. They get something slightly better that produces both research and culture.
They get a video game death chamber where you can just play video games until you die. What is it? StarCraft. StarCraft. You can just play it until you die.
Add to that a few other civilizations and the new charismatic civilization type.
Oh, right.
And you've got a nice little twist. I'm not sure if it's $30 worth of twist, which is what I paid for it.
I couldn't get past the tutorial.
Okay,
I literally was
you
like,
do
you've
not
gotta be
get
freaking...
to judge a game if you didn't play it.
Hey,
past
if you
the
can't
tutorial.
If you can't make a decent tutorial, I'm sorry, you've got a problem.
And speaking of tutorials, I also downloaded the Left Behind.
Why are you giving this man money?
Thank you very. No, it's free.
Okay,
I downloaded the demo.
All right.
Thanks to one of our
demo. That's what demo means.
All right. Okay.
Thanks to one of our forumites who posted a link.
Okay.
It's pretty humdrum. It's pretty standard. I wasn't terribly impressed by anything.
Anything offensive?
Well, I'll get to that in a sec. First off,
to kill any homosexuals
huge
or
bug, huge bug in the game. I haven't been able to fix it yet, and I'm pretty good at finding my way around a computer. None of the characters show up. I have little health bars wandering around a city with no character behind them.
That's a pretty big bug.
Yeah, that seems to be a major issue. And I checked around, and there are people who are getting that problem with the demo.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe that's just a demo thing, maybe?
I really doubt it.
Did you see the review
stupid thing.
On GameSpot of the game?
Yes.
It said, you should not hate this game because it's a Christian game and racist. You should hate this game because it's just a bad game.
But the thing that really kind of ticked me off is I'm watching the opening cutscene, the opening cinematic when you load the game. And it's beautifully done. It is beautiful. They did a great job kind of conceiving it, animating it, rendering it. It's lovely. Problem is, it's kind of like, you know, if you're not Christian, you're bad, right? And the instant the Christians are taken, the way it's portrayed in the opening scene, the instant Christians are removed from the earth by the rapture, everything falls apart. It's like suddenly cities are in flames and, like, you know, just nobody cares about the world except for Christians. They are the glue that holds the world together.
They are.
They're the muons of our society.
The muons of our society. That's genius.
So it just...
Okay.
I found that mildly offensive.
Yeah.
But you didn't get to murder any
I am still slogging through the tutorial.
You don't.
Which takes
ever.
A long time.
You just
three.
Tell other people to do it.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's right.
And so I feel like I can't judge it yet either because I have not completed the tutorial. And what have we learned this episode, Aaron? You don't judge games you haven't completed the tutorial on.
All right.
Sounds like you halfway judged it on the first cutscene.
I judged the cutscene. That's correct. I have, in fact, judged a cutscene in the game.
All right. Geek news, quickly?
Let's hit it.
There was an announcement made this week by Multiverse that the Firefly MMORPG... You know what? I'm skipping that one because Lisa should say it. Cut that out.
That's my only news story.
All right, Lisa.
Let's cut that out.
Oh, well.
Why don't you lead us off, Lisa?
Let me tell you about this exciting news. Multiverse, which is a company made up of former Netscape employees, has just acquired the rights to make the Firefly MMORPG. And it's very interesting because Fox is the one who gave them the rights, who canceled the show.
That is so weird.
And then Fox, these people at Fox say things, we see virtual worlds as an extraordinarily promising new entertainment medium.
A new
storytelling. Yes. We believe Multiverse can deliver an experience that will remain true to the original series. Like, they care if it's true to the original series. They canceled it. Anyway.
You
so
guys
that,
suck.
That made
okay.
me a little bit mad. But the good news is there will be a Firefly universe populated.
I hear the Firefly comic books are very good.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Here's the thing. The Firefly series worked because of the characters and the cool dialogue. Like, the universe is... hasn't been explored enough to really make it
playable, is it? But wouldn't you like a universe full of Reavers? I'm quoting the story. Reavers, traitors, mercenaries, futuristic geishas.
Oh, I'm in.
And a whole range of bizarre and imaginative locations they know and love from the series.
You know who Dawn's playing.
I get to be a companion.
Yeah, it's going to be one of the character classes, don't you think?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Totally. So everybody's going to be a companion. It's going to be like a big online orgy.
Do you want to be a companion?
Hell yeah. That's the only reason to play the mostly multiplayer game like that. I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, like the Star Trek MMORPG, there's so much universe out there that's Trek.
You see, I actually disagree.
I disagree.
There's multiple novels out. There's the role-playing game has some great source material that expands a little bit on what's on the show. And when you push comes to shove, it's a Western sci-fi.
Yeah.
There's the
so that right there is
that's enough to build on.
Yeah. You know? And I also disagree because Star Trek, I think, failed as you know, and also Star Wars failed as an online role-playing game because there's too much expectation for what this universe should be and can be and will be. Well, with this, it can be anything you damn well please, and there's nothing that's stepping outside, really,
as long as this doesn't take a page out of the Star Wars MMORPG where, like, the companions dance for people and that's when you get your health back.
Oh, that would be
I mean, I think the Star Wars game failed because they had some major gameplay concepts just be bad ideas.
Yes. Yeah. I just want them to come up with a game that's not running everywhere on one planet till I finally get a vehicle at level 40.
Yeah. Well, and also it's the Star Wars universe is centered around the Jedi. And the Jedi are just not equal to other people on that planet, in that universe. The Jedi is innately superior. So that's hard to create a balanced game when everyone wants to be the Ubermensch.
Yeah, but you couldn't pick Jedi as a character.
You can now.
Now you can.
And now everybody's playing Jedi. Nobody plays anything else, from what I hear.
Right.
You know?
Eh, okay.
Losers.
Matilda!
All right. So, I really want to go to the Rose Bowl this year because George Lucas is going to be honored in the Rose Bowl, and he's going to have 200 self-recruited Star Wars stormtroopers marching behind him in lockstep in the Rose Bowl. And I just want to see it so bad.
That's just hot.
I just want to see it. Basically, this is also to promote and actually finalize the DVD that's coming out called George and Me. With this guy in London did. And so there are a series of DVDs that are coming out. There's George and Me. There's a Star Wars Club one. And there's one called Done the Impossible, The Fan's Tale of Firefly and Serenity, which is going to talk about how the fans got Serenity to the screen. So it's really
interesting. If anyone wants to see it.
Oh, yeah, you have it already?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
It's really well done.
Yep. It's really brilliant.
They talk to everybody involved. And
yeah. But they're talking about how it was impossible to get people to do interviews for the Star Wars DVD initially because everybody was leery about Trekkies. And they were like, we got burned. We looked bad. We looked like crazy people.
Mm-hmm.
It was made to make fun of us. So, you know, we want to make sure that we show that Star Wars is improving people's
Trekkies
lives.
Trekkies did a good job of making fun of them, but also making them look like just people who... I mean, a couple of them got burned. I agree.
Yeah.
But
got burned.
Yeah.
Well, but
do you think so?
I think so.
I don't think so.
I don't.
I actually quite liked her. Like I found her very endearing.
I think what the filmmaker is, you know, they made fun of them a little bit, but then you really the whole sense of the film was, hey, these guys are just great fans, just like anybody, a football fan, and sure you can make fun of them, but they're just like you.
I found her endearing. If Cuckoo Crazy Pants is endearing,
and then there was that one guy who became like a star. You know the guy who checked.
Which one? The one who was sewing his own costume?
Yes, that guy.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he has fans.
I don't know. Like, you look at the epaulets, and they're not this wide. And
is that the one who was tricky with his dad?
Yeah, his dad.
And he got the phone
and
call.
And he was on Meet the Geeks or Beat the Geeks.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was the Star Trek geek on Meet the Geeks.
I told you not to call me right now.
That's the one.
How did
he
become a star?
He did. He's got fans.
People just love him.
People do this quote that Aaron just did all the time.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
We have fans, okay? We have fans.
Oh, that's funny.
That's true.
For God's sake, anybody can have fans. All right, I have a piece of news.
We're going to skip Peter?
Peter didn't bring news.
I brought news.
Oh, Peter.
I did too.
No, I thought we skipped you, though.
Okay, so spam doubles. Has everyone noticed how much spam has suddenly resurged recently?
Yes.
We had, spam has been going down for a while because of laws we've been passing, because of good spam filters. In fact, anti-spam companies have had three different things that they were doing to stop spam. First of all, they were looking at email and looking at whom the messages were coming from. So they might be coming from a certain website, and we knew, okay, we just block the website. We also looked at the words that were in a spam, okay? And
now they're using like Viagra, but they're spelling it like V1 small a.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then last, we would look at any type of links that they had to websites. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, we got really good at shutting down spam. Well, suddenly there's this resurgence, and it's because they have found three different ways to kind of combat this. Okay. The first is
images.
Well, the second is images, but the first is they've been stealing people's computers, basically, and sending the spam out from other people's computers. That way you can't lock down where it's coming from.
Right.
You can't say, oh, it's all coming from this place in Africa and we're going to shut it down, or this place in Russia.
Illegal?
It's completely illegal, yeah. The second thing that they were doing was images, okay? Now, one thing that we had been good at, we were still pretty good for a while at blocking images, because we would look for files that had sort of a fingerprint to them, okay? Well, now what they're doing is every time they send out an image, they're actually changing a few pixels within the image, and that's their way of making it difficult for people to say that it's the same file being sent out 90 trillion times.
Okay. I'm getting the stock tip bullshit. Yeah.
Now, that's the one that's the most interesting, okay? Because the third thing is we started to sue people. Who were sending spam, so they couldn't link to a website because it would completely screw them. They would get sued by the government, would go after them. Now what they're doing is they're not advertising for these stocks. What they're doing is they're trying to run the stocks up. They buy the stocks, then they send out the stuff on stock, so this hot stock tip, and believe it or not, people will listen to it enough that they buy that it goes up 5 to 6% in 2 days.
Oh my god!
Yep.
And that's how they're making their money, and then they sell it off.
If I hear that any of you geeks out there are doing this, I'm going to go through this microphone and wring your neck.
They're not.
See, this shocks me because, like, when I get spam, I close it as soon as I recognize what it is, right? And two, if I do recognize what it is, I probably am not going to buy from that person. Especially not through any link provided there.
Yeah.
You know, I have no desire to feed the beast.
Right.
So,
hey, how I didn't get a penis this large from not clicking on a...
Put it away, Aaron.
Oh, my God, I'm blind!
Take it out of Peter's eye, Aaron.
Man, thank God this is only sound.
Okay, so anyway, that's kind of why spam has been doing what it's been doing. And now the new big thing, of course, is they're trying to do OCD, optical character, OCR, optical character recognition.
OCD is what you have.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. The spammers are of course trying to foil this as well by using the same techniques that we use to kind of keep bots out of forums and stuff by having sort of the weird shaped letters and all sorts of weird dots and different colors that's supposed to confuse it. It's pretty interesting.
I think you just hire Kalis in all cases and have him,
hand delete all of our spam from
Absolutely.
The entire world.
Yep.
I'm sure he'll enjoy that.
Thank you, Kalis.
Did you guys hear the story that all 90% of the spam comes from the same 10 people?
Yeah, I read that too.
They can't.
Why don't, if we know who those 10 people are, why don't we go and just knock the shit out of them? I don't understand this.
Just hit him with a Wii controller.
Apparently it's a lot of damage, so.
My strap broke. I swear.
I swear. I was just... I don't know.
There's a new danger in the Midwest.
All right.
In the dark of the night, In the brightest of days, there is nowhere to hide from the zombie chickens. They are coming.
Zombie chickens.
Zombie chickens. That's actually the only reason why I brought this article in.
Brains?
The truth behind... Grains.
Grains.
Grains. Grains.
Sadly, the story itself is not quite as geeky nor quite as funny.
Okay, let's just move on.
Older chickens that are too old to lay eggs have been are being euthanized and used as compost for farms.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, they're using shoddy euthanization techniques. And so what's consistently happening are these chickens are waking up in piles of dead chicken compost.
Aww.
And pulling themselves out.
And going on a rampage in certain brains.
Pretty much.
That pissed me off.
That's horrible. Yeah.
They have legitimately earned the nickname zombie hens at this point because they're a little traumatized.
Oh,
by
come
the
on. Yeah. You know, they're old. It's like, let's take grandma out. You know, so, use her to fertilize the garden.
I'm not a big animal rights activist, but this was a little beyond the pale for me. I can't quite imagine. You know, any animal, no matter how dumb, and chickens are dumb. I'm sorry, they're dumb.
But they're not.
They're not
stupid.
That dumb.
what are they doing? Like gassing them? I mean,
they're
bringing them to a big chicken shower.
Apparently, they're putting them in big boxes of carbon dioxide or carbon monoxide to put
them
down.
So they're supposed to put them to sleep and then die.
They're trying to use a humane way of doing it, but they're not doing it well.
For God's sake.
Hey, assholes, leave them in there for another 30 seconds. I know it's a little more expensive, but Jesus.
Yeah.
God.
So the problem is the economic alternatives. It's more expensive to do it more efficiently. It's far more expensive to let them live. And it's considering the fact there's a pound of meat on each of these egg-laying chickens versus 5 pounds on an eating chicken. They're looking at other ways of using them, but there's no real economically viable model that's been put forward yet. So
send them to countries with famine. I don't know.
Put them on treadmills and they can
the
like
amount of money would
power a city.
Not
it's you put
not
them on
viable.
Treadmills, just run them. In
some
place.
Of the things that have been, they've been suggested are, let's see, a food bank proposed making sausages to feed the poor. A reptile enthusiast suggested using them as food for large exotic pets like pythons and alligators.
There's not enough freaking pythons out there.
And an industry group said that in the future they could be used to fuel for power plants. Like apparently Europe is using older cows in some cases for now.
Wow. That's crazy.
Oh,
so
who knew?
Zombie chickens. Mm.
It's going to be like that fusion reactor from Back to the Future where he threw in the banana peel. Throwing in Bessie.
I want to bring up something that almost probably every geek knows about, but I just want to recognize it. James Kim, who is a reporter on Tech TV, and then he recently was working at CNET. His family drove back from Portland, Oregon.
Oh, God, I heard about this.
And made a wrong turn, and his family got rescued in a mountain pass, but James Kim left his family to go for help and froze to death. So, anyway, I used to watch his stuff all the time, so...
As did I. I used to watch him on Tech TV.
Yeah, so I just want to say, you know...
I loved
just
him.
Recognize that.
Yeah.
It's kind of... I was watching... I mean, I would check Dig, like, 3 times a day just to get information, and... It's like 9 days, so anyway.
Damn.
Yeah, kind of crappy.
All right. Last
best
one.
To the family.
Yeah, exactly.
So the social networking website MySpace says it will release tools to identify and ban U.S. sex offenders from its service. The company said the new service will be the first national database that brings together about 46 U.S. state sex offender registers. MySpace is a personal website, you know. More than 80 million people have registered in MySpace, so the new technology called SentinelSafe will let MySpace search U.S. state and federal databases to seek out and delete MySpace profiles of registered sex offenders. But I mean,
like, if you're Jedi 642,
right.
How are they supposed to get you?
Exactly. You're Jedi 642, and you, I mean, what do you, have to put it in your profile? Like
nothing. That we're saying Jedi 642 is a pedophile. We apologize to Jedi 642.
I just don't get it. I don't understand how they're going to do it. Like nobody writes in their pedophile in their
pedophile
in their pedophile in their profile. There we go. That's
what MySpace should call their.
Hold still, you bastard!
Exactly.
You asked for this.
That's what it is. But yeah, I mean they're trying to get it done. I don't think it can happen.
Now this is something that I can't believe I'm stepping in to possibly be defending pedophiles.
Don.
I have to ask, if someone's been convicted and they've served out their sentence and they're no longer on parole.
Right. You're saying if they have lived up to the...
The agreed upon punishment for them. Now, while they're on parole, I say fine. You know, they don't have the full public trust at that point. But once parole is done...
Well,
does anyone have the right to say you did this once upon a time in your life and now you're branded this way?
Well, actually, the problem is that statistics show that rehabilitation for pedophiles isn't very viable. It doesn't work very well. And
but there's all sorts of things like you can't – if you're convicted, if you make a federal crime, you can't vote.
In some states. I don't think that's across all states.
No,
well,
I mean –
the point is like it does exist.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to argue the point because I'm not really that proficient in it. But to me, it sounds like this is something that would have to be questioned in some way.
Mm, yeah.
Because I jaywalk once. Does that mean I'm not allowed to use sidewalks for the rest
of
my life?
Well, it's fine. You know?
The problem is that, again, statistics don't support you. Jaywalkers, you know, don't have problems being rebuilt.
I would argue that point to the hilt. I know many people in New York who've received tickets for jaywalking and are the most recidivist jaywalkers you've ever met.
I think
also,
they're a different
the
game.
The damage caused by jaywalking is significantly
I'm not comparing
less
the crime.
The damage caused by molesting
Don,
children.
I'm not comparing the crime.
It's an easy
yes,
fix.
Yes, you are.
It's
no,
an
I'm
easy
comparing
fix.
Punishment.
All you do is just tack on that as part of the punishment. You go to jail for 3 years and for the rest of life you get your MySpace page has the
I could support
pedophile.
I could support saying, you know, if you're convicted of pedophilia, then you will be monitored for the rest of your lifetime.
Okay.
That I could understand. But until that's implemented, I don't think – until a law is in place saying that's the case, I don't know if I can buy just arbitrarily going into someone's
private,
life like
a private, a private company can say – put on their sign.
Oh,
Denny's can put on their
– can.
So MySpace is private.
Yeah, that's okay, – I'm
so Denny's can
I'm
say we don't
that.
Serve pedophiles.
Yeah.
If they find out you're a pedophile, you don't get,
but
you know, your moon's over Miami.
I don't think the government can go out and do that. I think MySpace totally can. Private space, absolutely. All
right. You know. Aaron, no. Moon's over Miami.
The thing is, I don't think that you're allowed to live within a certain distance of a school if you're a pedophile. And that's something that the government's being able to
do.
That's a state thing, though.
Yeah, but still, it's part of your
still government.
It's also not pedophiles. I think it's more general than pedophiles. It's like sex offenders.
Sex offenders.
Right.
Which means if you were 18 and you slept with a 17-year-old and you know.
Or a man who raped an adult woman. That's a sex offender too.
Yeah.
You know? But I mean, again, I'm still.
The problem
is. I think there are laws in place that make that okay.
There was a state that wanted to mark. Or no, somebody wanted to bring a law to a state where all sex offenders would have a certain color of license plate.
Wow.
And people were saying,
that
okay.
Would cut down on the sex offenders.
You think road rage is bad now.
Not so much stop them from doing it, but remove
but not
them
only
from
that,
the roads in another way.
But not only that, there is the 17-year-old who had sex with a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
And they're driving along with a pink license plate
for
and
the
a
rest
group,
of their life.
Exactly.
And a group of hillbillies come by and knock the shit out of him and kill him because. They think he was diddling
little girls.
Wow. It's like the Scarlet Letter.
Yeah. Anyway, it seems cut and dry until
it's not.
Like
it's always the fringe cases are the ones that are like,
Yeah. All right, I'm done with news.
Me too.
Me three.
Two more quick things. New York bans most trans fats in restaurants.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
When we talked about them passing a law that says you have to put the calories up on the menu, they did do that. They passed a law that said. It would apply to about 10% of the city's restaurants, mainly large chains that have highly standardized menus and portions, and it says the calories.
That's stupid.
And then the last one is that we have a problem. We've referenced this just a little bit, but the people playing the Wii have been having some slight either trauma problems when they're using it like a sword and swinging it around and little brother comes walking by not looking, gets smacked in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're not using it properly, or if the people are saying that the straps are breaking. I know there's some contention about whether it's really or not that's really happening.
Bullshit!
Right. But there's some pictures of, like, broken windows, and they've talked about broken TVs.
I've been pissed off at some video games once or twice in my time. I've thrown a controller once or twice.
Who hasn't thrown a controller?
Exactly. So I don't want to hear it.
I have never thrown a controller in my life.
Well, no.
You are a big liar. You're a big liar.
But not only that, who gives a crap? I mean, okay, so you're an idiot and hit your
If you
like, bought a baseball like a baseball and a bat and you knock the window out, you know, outside, you're an idiot.
Well, I mean, very few people play like baseball is not an institutionalized indoor sport.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to be playing the Wii like you're playing baseball. You can do it with your
have
wrist.
Have you seen the bowling game?
You don't have to play like that.
I thought you did.
No,
you don't.
You can if you really want to get into it, but it is all.
And if you really want to get into it, move the damn TV.
I mean, you're you guys a link to a boxing game with this.
Yeah, I sent that around.
Oh, it's hilarious! This girl boxing. Oh my god!
I haven't seen that.
Apparently, people work up a sweat. Like they really.
Why not? Yeah, and if you want to do that, fine.
She was getting exhausted. She's like, I'm so tired. My arms hurt.
That's awesome.
That's cool. I'd probably play that way too. But I'm gonna move away from my television. I'm gonna move my coffee table. I'm a thinking being. Stop being an idiot out there and, you know, use your brains.
My dad smacked our next door neighbor in the face when he was playing doubles badminton. But we didn't sue the badminton company.
Exactly.
And that's where you went wrong.
I'm waiting for when people use the nunchuck controller as a nunchuck.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Like, when the first Wii fighting game comes out, you know someone's just going to get schooled.
Someone's getting punched in the head.
Matt, we'll play.
All right.
All right. I don't have that many knees. Let's move on. So we want to do an episode before Christmas that was like a Geeks Buyer's Guide. And we're hoping you can actually give this episode to a loved one if you wanted. And they might have...
But don't make them listen to what
don't make
it say.
Listen to the whole thing. Just excerpt.
So this, we've collected some cool things that we've found.
I'm making a bet that Lisa has cooler stuff than all of us.
I don't know.
That's why she's here.
Just the geekiest.
So we're going to break this up into categories.
Excellent.
To make it a little bit easier and so that it's a little less confusing.
Or geekagories, as we like to call
geekagories.
Yeah, I think are we also going to be putting links up to... things that we can.
We absolutely will be doing that.
Yes.
If everyone provides me with their links.
I think I did already.
So we will.
Why are you looking at me?
So all these items will be on our website as well with links to how to. Well,
not all of them, but the ones we can.
Yeah, the ones we can. At least, if not directly, how to buy them, the names of them or the company, and then you can figure out where to go to buy them yourself. So. What should we start with? What
board category? Games. Let's start analog.
Okay. With board games, let's start off with some... Let's work through it, starting with some intro games, intermediate games, and then up to advanced games.
Yes. All right.
So different level.
I haven't classified mine, but I'll try.
So, who wants to start with some intro board games that they think are great?
All right. These are not new games that I'm about ready to list.
Okay.
So... if the person you are buying a gift for is really into games right now, he or she might have these. So
break into their closet, take a look around, see if they've got it. Better yet, ask one of their friends. Ask them if they've ever mentioned this game.
But if you want to introduce board gaming to somebody, these are some great ones.
Now, hold on. Board games are also something we can't really put links to on the website. You can. You can buy them online.
Yeah, I have these links.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do links.
Okay.
My first one is Carcassonne.
That's on my list as well, in fact.
I would like to advertise the fact that there is now a release of what's called Carcassonne Big Box.
Yes.
Which has all of the Carcassonnes in one big box.
Yes. There's lots of expansions for Carcassonne, and you can buy one called the Big Box. But I would suggest maybe...
Carcassonne Online is coming. So
for Xbox Live.
If you want to start beating people as soon as it comes out, better brush up.
Exactly. It's a really simple tile-laying game, and I would suggest it to anybody starting out.
Peter, you have another one?
I'll add to that. Ticket to Ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just went down to Florida for Thanksgiving, and I brought Ticket to Ride with me. It was a huge hit. Even non-geeks, my mom loved the game. She had a great time with it.
And that's a train track building game?
This is a train track building game where you're building routes across the U.S.
Is that the one that
I've also got a European version.
Is that the one where I went across the mountains?
No.
But it's a great game. It's very simple. It's very accessible. A lot of fun.
I'm adding Memoir 44. This is a war game. But it's an introductory war game. It's a great, great, great game. It has cool little miniature plastic pieces of army men, and it's like playing army men with some dice. And it's very simple to learn, and great for beginning war gamer.
I'm going to add Blockus to this. Blockus is it's sort of like a Mensa fun type game. It's mm-hmm. it's very simple, and yet it's a lot of fun. You can have it's a great game.
In general, as a resource, the Mensa Games website
is really good.
Fantastic resource for obscure games that most gamers don't have.
They actually put one on there called Laser Chess, which is really, really cool.
Actually, you can play that for free online.
Now it's called Ket?
Yeah.
You can also play Laser Chess for free online.
Oh.
But
it's not as fun without a real laser.
Yeah.
Mensa also has a competition every year, and their winner is for sale on their website every year for the most fun, simplest concept board game that any of their members can come up with.
Hmm.
Hey, That's My Fish
is one of the past winners.
Okay.
So all of them are games that are intriguing and that are fun for board game enthusiasts and for people who aren't, that you'd like to just, convince them to try something new.
Right. All right, is that enough for beginning?
That's beginning. Let's go to do some intermediate.
Intermediate. Okay. I'm going to move on to Citadels. Citadels is a card game that we've played. You can play from 4 to about 7 players. I freaking love that game.
That was a great game.
I love this game.
It's a great game. It's not very hard. The rule book is teeny, teeny, tiny. It's very easy to play, but it's a new type of gameplay that you probably just have never done before. I think it's a great 7-person game, and you can play it in like an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. I thought this one looked really cool, and I was just reading the rules and how it's played. It's called Thurn and Toxis. It's in 1490, Kaiser Maximilian the First awarded Franz von Toxis the contract to deliver mail between the Kaiser's residence in Innsbruck and Brussels. So basically, you have to emulate the achievements of the family and build a postal network.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the talent to connect the right cities to create an effective network and not lose sight of the need to acquire new carriages when they're needed? Plan your moves carefully and watch your opponents move carefully so you're prepared to respond to them. It's a really neat
sort of... It's a highly rated game. Yeah. I don't own it yet.
It's amazing looking. It's a really, really cool looking game.
Okay. I have Settlers of Catan. It's a card game.
Of course.
They have it in a bigger version for multiplayer, but the card game is a ton of fun that you can play for two. And my wife and I play it all the time. We're totally addicted. It's actually one of the best 2-player games out there.
I've been trying to get my copy back from them for 3 months. 3 months!
I'm going to bring up a new game I just bought called Medici versus Strozzi. It's a 2-person game that is a real blast. It's about the two Florentine business families battling. And I know it sounds a little dry, but it's a great, great game where you're you're buying and selling goods and trying to ship them off and make the most money and fit them onto boats. It's super easy. I mean, the rules is 2 paragraphs. Literally, that's the entire rules. But it is a tough game to play. It's a 2-person game, lots of thinking, a lot of wheeling and dealing. So anyway, great game.
This one is for you, Don. This one is called Tongyaki. In 300 AD, the Polynesians embark on daring sailing ships and explore thousands of Pacific islands. Driven by overpopulation and a desire for adventure, they set forth into the unknown on simple catamarans called Tongyakis. Without any help from navigational instruments, they charted their course with the help of sun, stars, wind, and water temperatures. Basically, you play it for an hour. It's about an hour-long game, and you have to plot out the Polynesians finding land.
That's interesting concept.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a really cool looking game.
Did it get good reviews?
Yeah, it got great reviews. It's in top 10 games for 2006.
Really?
Star Wars Miniatures Starship Battles. This is brand new from the people who bring you all the Hero, or not HeroClix. Yeah, the HeroClix stuff. It's no, this is Wizards of the Coast. Sorry.
Okay. What?
They have another new collectible miniature game. So if you are into collectible miniatures, this Lisa? Is probably a game for you. It's got like 40 different figures in the set, all the starfighters of all the Star Wars movies, big giant capital ships down to the little starfighters.
How much does this game run? I could get it from my friend Tom.
Well, it's a collectible miniature, so you buy the basic set and then for like 20 or 30 bucks, and then you buy the little blister packs for like 10 bucks each, and they're random figures. This is the reason why I will not be buying them, because I'm done with that crap. But people love to buy these collectible miniature games. This actually, the miniatures look pretty cool. So,
cool.
Shall we move up to some advanced games?
I don't know if I have any advanced games.
I got a couple.
I got two.
Okay.
Puerto Rico and Kalis. We've talked about them before, but they are really, they're the pinnacle of games that we play with multiplayer. I mean, they're so intelligent, so smart, and a lot of fun to play.
I would throw Arkham Horror on there. I know everyone's sick to death of hearing us talking about it, but Arkham Horror is still one of my favorite games. I'm actually planning on getting together with some folks and playing it tomorrow with the expansions. Now, if you know someone who is already an Arkham Horror fan, there are two expansions for the games out now. So give it a shot.
Right. One of which is not very expensive.
Battle Lore. We're going to do it this afternoon. Advanced game. Really cool.
Just got my copy of Battle Lore.
You get massive amounts of miniature troops, you know, medieval war, fantasy, cool, hex board, really awesome. Lots and lots of stuff in the game. Twilight Imperium. Right. Awesome, awesome game.
Big box game.
Epic empire building game. Crazy amounts of stuff. Lots of diplomacy. Lots of stabbing in the back. And it just looks cool. The game just looks really cool. Yeah.
This game is like $80.
Yeah, ginormous.
It's like
game.
A box that's like 3 feet long.
Yep.
It's huge.
Yep. And also Shogun, which is basically
new.
A retheme version of Wallenstein. So cool. I love Japanese themed games anyway, but it's basically you're a Shogun and you have to take over the whole of Japan and prove that you're the mightiest.
That's awesome. Supposed to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I haven't played that. I'm going to put in Shadows over Camelot. I know that you're kind of done with this game, but
I like it.
Oh, you
I
do
like it a lot.
It's a co-op game. Everyone plays on the same team, and you play against the game itself. There's no enemy.
Well, that's
player.
Not entirely true.
Except for there might be a traitor among one of the players, and he secretly plots against the rest of the team.
Margaret.
Maybe. It doesn't always happen. It's a blast to play. Lots of cool little miniatures. Beautiful board.
And Peter's always the traitor.
Like I find that cooperative games are easier to rope in new players with, too.
Yeah.
Because you know, they don't have to worry about being beaten up by someone who knows the game better than them.
Exactly.
You know?
That's a great point.
Now, I think, was it Fury of Dracula was like that?
No, that has actually another Dracula against three players.
And, of course, oldie but goodie, Lord of the Rings game. Great cooperative game. Fantastic fun. Haven't played in a while, but really fun.
I'm not sure if it's still in print.
No, it must be.
I think it is.
It must be.
I'm going to bring up Marvel Heroes board game that just came out, so I haven't played it, but a lot of comic book fans are trying to get their hands on this game.
There are a couple really dedicated people that are trying to build heat for that game already.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's just because they like the subject matter or because it's a good game, we don't know yet. But long story short, if you're looking for gifts, that seems to be a hot topic item for geeks this year, so give it a shot.
Wee-hee. And then, do you have another one, Peter? I just want to say, if you want to buy something smaller, stocking stuffer, dice. I'm going to put two websites that you can buy really cool dice. Metal dice, dice that look like different types of rock.
Metal dice?
Yeah, like stone dice, glass dice, dice that you can customize yourself.
Looking semi-blankly.
Blink, blink.
Have we found your geek edge?
I think this might be my geek vacuum.
Oh,
it's a vacuum that we can fill. Guys. I know. Now I've got all these ideas.
I'm going to tack on two things at the end. We had a couple suggestions from people on the forums that would be appropriate here. From Isabel on the forum, cheap-ass games. Now, a lot of people are not familiar with cheap-ass games. What they are is they mass-produce really easily produced cheap games that they sell for ridiculously low prices. Those cheap ass games.
$5. Are you sure it's not cheap ass games?
Yeah, like, cheap ass
are
games.
They ass games?
It depends on the emphasis.
The emphasis.
But most of their games are actually very physically small, and so they're literally the perfect stocking stuffer.
Mm-hmm.
From Firefox on the forums, Tantrix Puzzles. They come in both multiplayer and solitaire versions.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually... I have not played this line of games, but they look very interesting.
Looks kind of like Rubik's Cube stuff.
Rubik's Cubey chain discs. Looks like you play interlocking games where it's about laying down tiles, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the website, check them out. It's something your significant other probably doesn't have, but it looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And Ket, I think, falls under that. It's like chess, but each piece is a mirror, angled mirror, and then you have a laser on each side, and if you try to angle the laser to hit their king.
Yep.
And if you hit their king, then you win.
That's very cool.
I love this idea.
And I think if you buy
it with lasers.
If you buy it now, if you buy it now, they have an expansion piece which splits the laser into two beams.
Wow. Okay, that's really
for maximum damage.
Then you'll have to do math.
Yes. All right.
Wait a second. Subject. I think that the vectors here are incorrect.
How about video games?
All right.
We've brought Lisa back on board.
I wonder if... I'm going to let Lisa start. She looks like she's ready to jump in on this one.
She's got a couple.
I've got so many categories within video games.
Why don't we split them into the consoles.
Consoles
or PC.
And can we just leave out PlayStation 3? Because there's no way to get one now. So there's no reason to buy. And if somebody you know actually has a PlayStation 3, already has the one game that you should buy. So... there's nothing to buy for him.
The only thing I really want for it is Virtual Fighter 5, and it's not out yet.
When does that come out?
All that stuff isn't coming out for a while.
I want to say mid next year.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it'll probably come out for the Xbox.
No, right now it's apparently PS3 exclusive, but...
you never know. All right, Lisa.
All right. What do you want to start with? I will start with the Wii. I'm going to represent Nintendo today because I have a Wii and I love the Wii.
Do not play it with greased up hands, obviously.
Yes.
All now, right. First of all...
and don't play drunk. I already tried that. No, I'm kidding.
First of all, though, you can actually buy a Wii.
Yeah.
You can actually suggest... we're actually suggesting that you can actually go and pick up the console.
Although I was lucky, and all my friends who wanted one are still having trouble. But they're getting new shipments every week. You know, if you just go to Target, they'll
every
have them.
Every week.
Yeah. Well...
sorry.
Doesn't get old,
really
does it?
Sorry.
But I was lucky to get mine.
Right.
Because I got it online. And it was just pure luck in the community of geeks that were all waiting on Amazon.com, like hitting the button, refresh button over and over again. There was a board, and they're like, they're at Circuit City right now, go! And we all went, and it was great.
Really?
I would never have gotten it if it weren't for the community that I discovered.
Wow.
I know. It was. It was great. And then we all wrote back, I got one.
Wow.
This is why I can never get you on the phone.
You're clicking the refresh button.
All right, so what do you suggest for the Wii?
Okay, well, you know, the Wii games are obvious. Everybody should get Zelda. That's what I got. And I also got the Rayman game. But the game I want to talk about isn't out yet. It's coming out December 12th, just in time for Christmas.
Okay.
And it's called Elebits. And it's the first Konami game for the Wii. And it seems like the perfect, you know, unique gameplay that you would come to the Wii for. There's going to be nothing like this game. Basically, the idea is there are these Elebits that I guess are the entities that form electricity and run things in your house, and they're like these little like Pikmin type guys that are just running around. And it's a first person shooter, sort of, in that you shoot with your Wiimote, but you move with the nunchuck. You guys are like, what are you talking about? And you have to like interact with in first person with the whole house. Like you open cabinets and you're basically trying to find these little guys and zap them so they'll get back to work and power your house again because they've all gone renegade.
This sounds like a good beginning step for whatever the next Resident Evil will be. If you gotta open doors and
next Metroid Prime, which I'm really looking forward to, which was a great first person shooter on the GameCube.
If only the listeners could see the little gleam in her eyes when she started talking about
Metroid
that.
Prime was a good first person shooter.
It was a great first person
shooter.
Could
you roll into the little ball and drop mines?
Yes, you could. Well, you could definitely roll into the ball, and there were like boss battles where you really had to use the ball. It was a great game.
All right.
I highly recommend it.
Kind of sold. I really loved Metroid.
So, yeah. So, Elebits.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance got good reviews for the Wii as well.
Yeah. So. And apparently the Madden really uses the Wii controller. Yeah. I mean, people are thinking about
that. Now
the
I know why they're Smash TVs.
If you're going to buy Marvel Ultimate Alliance, the 360 version and the Wii version just seem phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I was blown away consistently by what I was seeing for the 360.
What was the 360 version? Was that the one where you're... which was the one where you're individual guys and you're running around and you're like beating people
up? Yeah, it's like Baldur's Gate.
You look like Baldur's Gate.
Costume.
That's all of the X-Men and Marvel line.
Okay. I really dug that game.
For Legends.
I had fun.
Four-person online on Xbox.
That was so much fun.
It's so good.
That sounds fun.
Anything else for the Wii?
Well, that's my besides the obvious ones, that's the new one coming out that I'm most excited about. Also, the great thing about it is how you interact with the environment. That's completely unique. You have sort of a gravity gun, like in Half-Life, where you just use it to interact with the world. And there are things like if you have to open a door, you have to grab the handle and then turn your Wiimote to open it. Anyway, so it's really unique. And
you just like saying Wiimote.
I don't know what else to call it.
Real-time door handle...
Turning action. Yes.
Or the Wiimote.
Yeah, all Wiimote right. sounds a little lame. But.
And there's no online component to the Wii, right?
There will be, yes. There is. In fact, they have, you know, content for download. But, there's definitely going to be online games. And then my other category for the Wii is if you know somebody who's getting a Wii or, you know, they're getting it for Christmas or whatever, I would like to recommend GameCube games for the new Wii owner because it comes with ports for the GameCube controllers and you can play. It's perfectly backwards compatible on, like, some systems.
Damn you, 360!
Yeah, and PS3. So if you have a friend who you know is getting one, perhaps they would like to examine the incredible library of GameCube games that were GameCube only that they never got to play before.
Like?
First of all, Resident Evil 4 is also on the PS2, but it looks best on the GameCube, so that's my number one. Then my favorite game for the GameCube, Eternal Darkness, a horror game.
I want to play that game so
great.
Badly.
If you get a Wii, you'll be able to. Yeah, get a Wii. And it's a brilliant game.
Bust my TV.
It's a brilliant story, and it's unique.
Is this like stealing Mac's catchphrase from Get a Mac? It's like, get a Wii?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, and then quickly, the rest of my list is Zelda Wind Waker, of course. Metroid Prime 1 and 2, both brilliant. Pikmin 1 and 2, incredibly unique.
You're a Pikmin fan,
real-time
huh?
strategy game. Okay. Yes, I'm a huge fan. I played both games, love them. And lastly... Animal Crossing. Again, I know you guys are going to mock me, but you can play it on the DS too. It is the greatest game, you know, for people like me. And you guys are all excited about Viva Pinata. Animal Crossing is the original and the best.
When do you actually get to beat the animals to death and candy comes out in Viva Pinata?
You can do that.
You can do that.
Excellent.
You really can.
By accident. I beat the crap out of a bird by accident.
With a shovel?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
How about the DS? We'll stick with Nintendo.
Oh.
Do you have any DS?
Yes, I
do. On my very own wish list, I have the new Castlevania Portrait of Ruin.
That's pretty much the top game
right
now. What's up with Castlevania?
Well, it's the sequel to the really great first DS Castlevania, which was I played, you know, from beginning to end and loved every minute of it. It is so much fun. And this game, and the great part of that game is as you killed various monsters, you would gain their skills, which mean you could shoot different ways. You would have different powers.
I always liked Castlevania 2 back in the day, which was a really cool RPG. We had to take the crystal and kneel and you had to get like 5 crystals and 8 whips, and that was awesome.
If you could all see the blank looks we're giving him.
It was awesome!
Because you guys didn't play it. Y'all suck.
Castlevania is a great series.
Yes.
There's no question. And the best part of the new versions of Castlevania is that they preserve the sort of what made the old ones great, and that it's still a 2D
side-scrolling.
Yeah, and you still got the whip. And you still knock out the lights and get hearts and candles and what have you. But the new one, the DS obviously is the best way to play it because you get the map on top, on the top screen. So you always sort of know where you are. You never can get lost. Mm. And all your stats and stuff also on the top screen. And there's a couple instances in the first game where you could use the DS to knock out blocks and you actually had to use the stylus in the gameplay. You had to do these... sort of spells which you had to use the stylus to draw a thing and that would finish off a monster, and it was great because after you've been battling furiously you're like, oh, I gotta do the thing. And you had to think fast. You had to draw a symbol, but within a really short time frame. So it was another like fun challenge. But anyway, so the new one allegedly
they're thinking
yeah, yeah.
They're thinking. It hasn't caught on yet, but they're thinking.
Where the DS is the biggest. Blown the PSP out of the water.
Did it really?
And would make a great gift because it's got a great game library. So, and there's games for it for anybody. Anybody, like your mom could play and really love, like the Sudoku or the brain games.
It's the only system I'm really considering getting right now. I'm actually planning on getting.
Yes, Don, you have to.
I'm going to, just once I'm past Christmas, all the money's going out this year. I need to wait and... You know, maybe in January. But
all right. It's not too expensive.
I suffer from this double whammy of parents' birthdays in November, family members' birthdays in December, and then Christmas. So broke.
You're tapped. That's a shame.
I'm suggesting Elite Beat Agents because it's a rhythm game. And,
yes. I have the Japanese version.
I have played the Japanese version. It is... incredibly entertaining.
That's awesome.
I couldn't put it down, I have to admit.
Final Fantasy III is out for the DS.
Really?
For those that want to go a little old school.
Final Fantasy XII, you mean?
Three.
Oh, for the DS.
Yes.
12 is for another system.
For every system.
I know it's an older game at this point, but I have to admit, Trauma Center was incredibly addictive.
Yeah, and if you want to play just something weird, The Attorney at Law, the law game, it's called... I keep on thinking it's Harvey Birdman, but it's got a name just like Harvey Birdman.
It's a law game for the DS.
I'll think of it, but it's a law game for the DS. It's an adventure game.
And of course,
just like
my favorite, Brain Age.
Oh, yeah. Brain Age is genius. Yeah, Big Brain Academy is even more challenging.
I love Big Brain Academy.
Me too. I like that one even better.
Yeah.
And the ultimate, you know, we can't go do this list without Mario Kart. I'm sorry. It's so important because you can play online with strangers.
Yeah, that's fun.
All right, let's move on to PSP since we're doing portable games here.
I got nothing.
There's a new game, Metal Gear Solid Portable Ops. It's supposed to be awesome for it.
Okay.
Which is good because there's not a lot new out. And Medal of Honor Heroes is supposed to be a first-person shooter that actually works on the PSP. Luminous 2 is out now. And Grand Theft Auto Vice City also got very high ratings. If
you like that genre.
If you like that genre. PS2. Believe it or not, PS2 is not dead, even though the PS3 is out. There's actually some pretty cool games coming out now and this month. Final Fantasy XII.
It's on my wish list.
It's on your wish list?
I know. I know you're done with Final Fantasy.
I'm done with
Final Fantasy. But I'm not. This one is supposed to be, instead of the treacly love story, it's all about political intrigue. And
can you dress your characters in different costumes?
It wouldn't be Final Fantasy if you couldn't. But, and then, I totally forgot what I was going to say.
Political intrigue.
I'm very intrigued by the
costumes. And there's a new battle system.
Thank God.
That's what I'm
excited
about.
Is there a battle system in each game?
Yeah, but this one they say is really good.
It's really revamped?
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Because I'm with you. I'm not done with Final Fantasy. I really enjoy them. But I enjoy them for the stories and for the cutscenes, and despite the gameplay consistently. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how Final
you
Fantasy
you like the treacly love
was.
Story.
I do.
Yeah, Final Fantasy X was all story and about 10% game, but this one with the new battle system, I'm really excited to play the game.
See, I'm one of those people that believes that Final Fantasy VIII was the pinnacle. There are two flavors of Final Fantasy fans: the 7 enthusiasts and the 8.
Right. And the 8 people love story.
Yeah.
Well, there's also the 10.
The 8 people loved 10.
Right.
Seven people loved 9. You know? Yeah. It's like...
All right. Okami, which is the...
Love that game.
Yep.
So much fun.
Guitar Hero 2 just came out.
Get it,
which
get
is
it,
a
get it.
Great game. I would suggest if they don't have Guitar Hero 1...
Get Guitar Hero 1. It's still a better game.
Great song list.
Yeah. Great song. It's a better song list, but Guitar Hero 2 has... Different
Guitar Hero 2 has better gameplay, I think, because you can, you know, play different aspects of the band. You can play rhythm guitar, you can play bass guitar.
You can play co-op, and one person can play easy, and you can play hard, and you can still play at the same time, which is great.
But the song list is all, like, thrash metal. So.
Yeah, I like Guitar Hero 1 better. Bully!
Sorry, one more thing about Guitar Hero 2 that I noticed is it seems easier to pull off the hammer-ons.
Oh, it's much easier.
Yeah, they really fixed that.
Yeah. Bully came out last month, but
I want Bully.
How come it disappeared? I mean, I thought with all the controversy that was going on that it would be a big schmealy deal when it came out.
It's got
nothing.
Good ratings. I think it's just it's a PlayStation 2 game, and right now PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360.
What I thought was interesting
Wii.
With Bully is that they didn't advertise certain aspects of the game. So right when like the violence aspect of the controversy died down, the gay kissing thing broke out.
Yeah.
So they had a second wave of bad publicity.
Yeah.
It's just like
idiotic.
That's genius, you know.
Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Double Agent that came out for all systems and it got a great review score on the PS2. So those of you who don't have another, you know, the 360 or the PlayStation 3 can still play that. And Call of Duty 3 actually got good reviews on the PlayStation 2.
My Xbox on its way out. It's like coughing.
Well, Matt, you can buy an Xbox 360.
Yes, you should.
My Xbox gave up the ghost last week. It can't even run DVDs anymore.
Yeah, mine's coughing and lunging, and it needs a walker now to get a DVD going.
So, those of you who want to buy your geek a next-gen system this year, you can go and pick up a Xbox 360 at stores.
Or a Wii.
Or we, if you consider
if you
that
can
next
get
gen.
One. Yeah. Thanks, Aaron. Hey, it's next gen controller.
Next gen controller. The Xbox 360 has some awesome games out right now. It's had an entire year, so you can pick up all sorts of games that came out during the year.
Don't forget to get Oblivion.
Yeah, Oblivion's
Oblivion.
Key.
If you
and
are,
new,
if you
new
have
game.
Any questions about Oblivion, call Peter. He's played the whole game backwards and forwards and upside down.
And even if you've finished it, now there's the Knights of the Nine. You can download for $8 or whatever.
Yeah,
it's
there's
800
all
points.
Sorts of downloads
whole
for extra
quest.
Content, but. Yeah, so that goes on for. But Gears of War, if you're going to buy a system, Xbox 360 system and a game, buy Gears of War. It is an awesome. It's such a blast.
It's
better
such
than Halo?
A blast.
I think it's better than Halo 2.
Well, yeah.
That's not saying much.
That's not saying much.
Halo 2 is a great game.
Halo 2 had great multiplayer.
No,
Halo 2, Halo Adventure, the storyline.
I thought Halo 2 was fun. It wasn't as good as Halo 1, but
Halo
we had
1.
Fun playing co-op.
We had okay fun.
The only fighting game right now for the 360 is still Dead or Alive, which is not... It's sort of the low... It's the McDonald's of fighting games.
It's
well,
no Soul Calibur.
Or Final Fight Round 3 if you really like boxing games, which I do. And I just,
and that's a great game.
I'll play that game to death because that's an awesome game.
It's a boxing game, not a fighting game.
Yes.
It's different.
And if you're looking for a less
it's
violent
pugilism.
Game... Maybe something for a kid, you know, or you're, you know, adults that like puzzles. Viva Pinata, of course, we've mentioned.
Unless you want to beat the crap out of your pinatas, which is awesome.
Tom Clancy Rainbow Six just came out, and that looks freaking kick ass. That's what's on my. That's
on
the
my
one
list.
I haven't bought, and I'm leaving that for a present because it looks amazing. Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Double Agent is out. Marvel Ultimate Alliance. Which is...
That's a multiplayer one?
That's the four-person multiplayer.
If I get a 360 for Christmas, then I'll...
Call of Duty 3 is out, which is supposed to be great. Tom Clancy Ghost Recon, which is a great
the
freaking
Warfighter.
Game. Warfighter.
Great.
All those are awesome games that you can get for the 360.
Cool.
That's it for video games for me.
I all have right. a PC.
I got PC,
oh, PC.
Ones
yeah.
as well. Of course, WoW. You know, if you haven't played WoW, you probably should.
Is the expansion out now?
Not yet, but it's coming, jeez. And it's going to be really cool. Well, they're really perfecting it, the whole gay thing aside.
They're de-gaying it.
Which one?
Yeah. They got to de-gay it, but it should
patch,
be going.
Is that a patch, the de-gay patch?
The de-gay patch,
oh, okay.
Yes.
I'll look
de-gay
for that.
Patch 1.02. always, I've recommended this before, Space Rangers 2, Rise of the Dominators, great, easy, fun, simple. You can download it online. You don't have to buy any CDs, anything like that. So, really fun, combines four different aspects where it's like a StarCraft kind of game. It's also a turn-based game. It's also an RPG, and it's also kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure storybook. So it's lots of those.
Yeah.
Neverwinter Nights 2. Of course.
Yeah.
Oblivion, of course. And Medieval 2 Total War is a fantastic, fantastic game. Really great strategy and fun to watch.
Also, for those of you who have friends who are into the downloadable, easy, like casual gamer market, Big Fish Games has something, bigfish.com, Big Fish Games, has something called the Game Club, where what you can do is sign up. And normally, a casual downloadable game is about $20, right? And that includes games like Diner Dash is a big one. The Travelogue Paris 360 game is a big one right now. Now, if you go to Big Fish Games and join the game club, you can buy a subscription for someone, where what'll happen is you pay like between $9 and $6 a month, and that person will be credited one credit, good redeemable for any of the game, the downloadable games.
That's
they have
fun.
There.
Perfect.
So, $20 for Flash games, though?
They're not Flash games. The casual downloader market has come a long way from that. So for games like that, there's a new Diner Dash that's out right now. That's a big deal.
Isn't that like a Flash game?
Not really.
It's like things coming, sliding down a big... Okay, maybe not.
You should probably try it sometime. All right. It's a huge market. Diner Dash actually just passed its million sale mark, which for the downloadable market is huge.
Yeah.
You know? So if they're interested in that sort of game, and it's not everyone's cup of tea, give it a shot.
Cool.
And my PC pick is an RTS, Dawn of War. It's Warhammer, Dawn of War.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know from Warhammer, but I love real-time strategy, and I played the first Dawn of War from beginning to end, and there's a new expansion pack that just came out for it, which is supposed to be amazing, a whole new game in itself with new races called Dark Crusade.
My roommate got that, went into his room, and I didn't see him again for a week.
That's the kind of game, and it's beautiful. It's a real change from like the last RTS that I loved was StarCraft, of course. And this one is like StarCraft, but beautiful. And
I love StarCraft. I just went back and I reloaded it onto my computer and like played it, and it was so much fun.
It's just as good.
It's just as good. There's
no
lot.
I think StarCraft is like chess. It will never get old.
There's a StarCraft board game being developed right
now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've always been surprised that they haven't put out more support for StarCraft at this point.
Yeah, like some extra maps.
Something.
You know.
Oh, they're coming out. They're probably developing a whole new game.
I haven't seen Hyde nor Hair of it at E3 yet.
StarCraft
2. So if you want to get somebody Dawn of War, there's another expansion pack that came out earlier called Winter Assault. Also highly recommend.
And these are all...
PC.
Warcraft?
Oh.
I mean, sorry, Warhammer-based?
Oh. Yeah. But it's just a great RTS.
Moving on.
Moving on to a new topic. What is it?
How about clothing?
Clothing. All I don't have a whole lot here.
Yeah, I only have a couple. You know, I got to tell you, I was looking around, and the site I really found that was the site for this type of thing is ThinkGeek. You know?
Yeah.
Other than, of course, the incredible Geeks On t-shirts that you'll find at our clothing store. But, yeah, there are a couple of them. This is one that I really like. It's STFU University. Okay. Now, for those of you who don't know what STFU stands for, it's shut the fuck up. So, it's a really kind of clever thing. It looks like it's a university t-shirt, but it's got a hidden in joke. Then there's Matt's t-shirt, which is just says meh.
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 You know,
so
walking down
it says so much, really.
Yeah. It really just meh.
This one's super cute. It says there are only 10 types of people in the world, those who understand binary and those who don't.
Right.
Okay. Now, for those of you who don't, this is one that, like, when you get it, you know...
You have to kind of understand binary.
Yeah. But basically, two in binary is 10.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very...
But you can also, I mean, there's even, like, I Love My Geek, you can get there, and
but, I mean,
Soylent Green is people, so it doesn't have to be as geeky.
We're just going to assume that you know the person you're buying for.
Yeah.
So buy something that suits their sense of humor. Think Geek has a vast selection of stuff.
So does Geek Label. They also have their... They're a listener of ours. They have their own podcast, but they also have a whole t-shirt line. That's How I Roll, with some dice on it. And 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 48 was also a t-shirt they had.
I saw one that said, which is still my favorite, that's in DOS script, and it says /run/run/run.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It's been around forever.
I love that. It's just classic.
ThinkGeek also has the Yoda plush backpack. If you need a backpack, but you want to look like Luke Skywalker as he ran through Dagobah with Yoda in his back, you can buy the Yoda backpack, and he'll be riding
on
your shoulder.
If you're a geek parent, you must buy that for your child and force them to go to school with it every day.
Yeah. Ruin their lives.
Another thing that that Elvish Girl Love posted in the forums, also available from ThinkGeek, is geeky wrapping paper. At first, I was like, okay, whatever, geeky wrapping paper. But then I went to see the selection they have. We will put a link up. Go check out this wrapping paper. If you're buying gifts for your geek, it's the only way to wrap it. They're beautiful. I must have some.
I also have the One Ring necklace. A necklace with the One Ring on it. It's got the Mordor script in red on it, which is fantastic. And also, there's a T-shirt that says, "I'm blogging this."
Last but
which,
not least,
which I think is genius.
Last but not least, Jinx.com is another Think Geek type T-shirt site, but it skews a little younger. So it's a little more mainstream geek stuff. Not so much for the oldies out there, but maybe for high school age and a little older than that.
Also, if you want to try more specific, you can also go to bandgeek.com or doggeek.com, and you can find stuff if you're a dog geek lover or if you're a band geek lover. Like,
you free know, pooch.
Yeah, free pooch, or if you like making fun of the oboist.
I have one great T-shirt site to throw out there, too, called Stylin' Online. That's the Those are the T-shirts you see at the Comic-Con. They have every property. Every property. Video games, movies. Battlestar Galactica, they have a whole line. And I recently purchased from them an Adult Swim the Aqua Teen Hunger Force T-shirt of the Moonanites giving you the finger, which I love and my sister loves.
All right, can we move on to books, comics, and DVDs?
Sure. Yes.
Unfortunately, I don't know much about comics, so I have not.
I've got a few things to throw out there. One, Order of the Stick. This is an online comic strip that is actually a great deal of fun to anyone who's ever played Dungeons & Dragons or most role-playing games. It's probably one of the more popular ones out there. Your geek may have bought it at some point or at least read it. But we'll put a link up there where you can buy their collected work.
Oh, cool.
It is a phenomenally funny comic strip that has kept up its quality for years at this point.
Of course, Dork Tower.
Dork Tower is another good one. Something we mentioned earlier at this in this podcast is the Goblins webcomic. We'll put a link up to that.
Yeah, I got to jump in on this one because I just have to say there's only one comic that I would say to buy, which is Goblins. I have loved this, and I'm so passionate about it. I think it's so funny, so well written.
You brought the book in?
We got one of the books, and it's really well put together. Mm-hmm. This guy is just a genius. If you've ever played D&D, or your geek has ever played D&D, he will so enjoy this, just and giggle hysterically the entire time they're reading it.
I also recommend highly recommend Goblins. This is not to disparage Order of the Stick. If you've not seen Order of the Stick, I highly recommend checking it out. The two of them are hands down my favorite geek web comics at this point, though I consider them on par with each other.
You can also check out with something called the Not So Super Friends, and that basically takes stills from episodes of Super Friends and puts words in the mouths of Batman and Robin and Aquaman.
Can you buy that? That's a book?
Yes.
Oh,
and
crazy.
It's kind of scandalous.
For non-gamer geeks, it's the Sluggy.com. Sluggy webcomic is an excellent, excellent choice. The early books from that are phenomenally funny, and they don't rely on the game-specific knowledge that some of the earlier ones that we put up there do.
I was at the bookstore, and these were big, thick, beautiful, hardback table or coffee table books. And they were inexpensive, so I went online. You actually find them online pretty inexpensively. The Marvel Encyclopedia and the DC Comics Encyclopedia, which has got all their characters, all the stats, the history, the origin of all the all the heroes and villains. And they're just amazing looking. They're like $26 each. You can buy them, both for like $50. And they're just amazing looking. So you can buy those in the store and online.
Don't forget, of course, George R. R. Martin, any of those books, or Robert Jordan, fantastic as
well.
Make
sure they don't have them already.
Yes.
Those are very popular.
And my pick for the comic book, which is, I think, the most handsome book, because like yours, it's just a beautiful, huge tome, mm-hmm. and it's just gorgeous, and that is the 300 hardbound.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a classic, and the movie's coming out, and it's just something you want to own because it's so beautiful.
Get there ahead of time.
Along those lines, Dre on the forum pointed out that the Sandman collections are coming out right now. The complete collections in 4 volumes, I think,
yep.
of all of the Sandman comics.
Yep.
If you're not familiar with the Sandman series, it's probably, in my opinion, it's one of the best comic book series that have come out. It's one of the things that legitimized comic books as an art form
yep.
in the modern times. So That's worth checking out. We have, let's see, suggested from Dulos on the forums, the Marvel Comics CD-ROM Library, and 40 Years of the Amazing Spider-Man.
This I couldn't believe. It's every single one.
Yeah. That's comic crazy. For 40
and
years.
I just bought for my sister for Christmas, I hope she's not listening, the CD-ROM of every Ultimate X-Men. And
what?
It was like $10.
Buy those?
$10.
Oh my
That's
god!
That's crazy.
Yeah. I need. Hello. I got it at Best Buy.
Last but not least, this from me. This is a gift not for your geek, but for yourself. Do not go out and get this for your geek as the only present. Comic book collector boxes. All
I
right?
need those.
Yes, they're a
Everyone
wonderful thing.
Them.
They can, you know, those comics that you have spread out strategically throughout your household. Well, now you can put them all in one place. We'll put a link up to that to a site that Kellamore from the forum suggested.
Genius.
It's a very, very nice comic box that is actually a sliding shelf as well.
Oh, I love that.
It's entirely self-contained. It's beautiful. It's a really nice box, much better than the ones that I used to use.
I seriously need this. This is brilliant.
So a nice little kind of side present for your geek, but don't give them a box for Christmas. Right. It's like giving socks.
And of course,
shame on you for considering it.
A few entry drugs into the comic world that I think everybody should own after having read them. Top 10, of course.
Genius.
Read them this year. The Authority, Ex Machina, of course, The Watchmen. And also, I noticed that they came out with new re-released books for Mage and Mage, the Hero Defined by Matt Wagner. Love this series. Fantastic Arthurian in the modern age. Really great. Really beautiful art. Fun to watch.
Once again, those are classics. If you're buying them as a gift, make sure that your person doesn't
they
already
don't
have
them.
Them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those, like, Watchmen's been out for like 15, 20 years at this
years.
Point.
Yeah.
That also ties into another, just a gift suggestion that I wanted to make. If you have some extra money and you especially love your geek,
give it to me. Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Why not go out and say, for example, the Watchmen series and a lot of other very popular comic book series like The Long Halloween are 12 issues long. What if you happen to go out and happen to buy the original 12 issues and strategically space them out over the 12 days of Christmas? You know, surprise your geek. Make it special. You
or
know?
Hanukkah.
Yeah, but 12 comics don't work quite as well for 8 days. Yeah,
sure.
It's like hot dog buns.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Shall we skip the stocking stuffers? Or
actually, I've got a few books still.
Okay.
Just a couple quick things. The Encyclopedia of Game Machines, Consoles, Handhelds, and Home Computers from 1972 to 2005.
Aaron looks
book,
excited.
Yeah, Aaron and Lisa
that.
Are just plotting right now. More than 450 Dream Machines, from million-dollar sellers to exotic variants, are celebrating this exhaustive reference to video game gaming systems.
Weird.
Another book, The Cult of Mac. There is no product on the planet that enjoys the devotion of a Macintosh computer. Apple's machines have legions of loyal, sometimes demented fans.
Pause
the cult of
look
Mac is a devoted following that has grown up around Macintosh computers. And last but not least, Terry Pratchett's latest Discworld book, Wintersmith, is now in stores now.
Really?
Yes. And
I didn't know that.
Just saying. I'm not suggesting there's any particular person in this room who's a big enthusiast of Terry Pratchett or anything. But might make an excellent gift.
I have a
so Matt wants it. Okay,
quick books for the Star Wars fans. There's a couple of guides if your geek likes to collect blueprints and books on weapons and droids of their favorite fiction. The Essential Guide to the Droids, Essential Guide to Weapons, Essential Guide to Aliens. These are all separate books with really cool illustrations, including there's a chronology book that lays out the chronology of the Star Wars universe with all the comic books, novels, video games all strung together and writes it clearly. You can buy those in like any bookstore right now.
Does
They're
it take
cool.
into account the suck factor of the first three movies now?
It takes everything.
All right, good.
Yep, it's all in there.
All right, so DVDs.
Oh, I would like to recommend one book that I think would be perfect for any geek, which I just read, which is Neal Stephenson's Cryptonomicon. He's
yes.
the one who wrote Snow Crash. Did
Snow
you
Crash.
Read this?
Yeah.
It's got everything. It's got
fantastic
World War
book.
II code breaking. It's got adventure, romance, and a lot of great geeky computer stuff like hacking.
Yep.
And it's brilliant. It's a thick book. It takes a while to get
Neal
through.
Stephenson in general is a good one. Is a good one to buy for your geek. Are we going to put RPGs in here? Or is that a separate section?
That's separate.
Separate.
Okay.
Oh, one other quick thing that we completely forgot: the physics of superheroes.
Oh yes. Yeah,
completely.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Worthy of It discusses physics in terms of the superhero world and explains why some superpowers might work and others wouldn't.
Yeah.
Genius.
Do we have some DVDs?
I have a few.
Okay.
Well, first off, I have the list for... well, actually, this is not first off. This is all I've got. For all of your cartoon geeks out there, there's a whole bunch of cartoon series that are coming out on DVD this month. All right? So, a list of things that are coming out that your geek probably doesn't have yet. Star Trek Animated, the complete series. D&D, Dungeons & Dragons, the complete animated series. Animaniacs.
Oh, we saw that.
Yeah, I want. Pinky and the Brain, Volume 2. Voltron, Volume 2, The Yellow Lion.
Oh, Carolyn wants that.
The Chronicles of Narnia is coming out. And The Simpsons Season 9 releases this month.
Let's not forget The Tick, also.
That's releasing this month?
I think it's Season 2 or something like that. Or Season... And they're re-releasing Season 1. I don't know which one they're doing.
Quick disclaimer, The Simpsons Season 9 actually releases on December 19th. So if you want to get that as a gift, you may have to wait.
My one is for those geeks like myself that grew up watching a lot of the BBC, like Doctor Who and Red Dwarf, and I just found out, I'm also buying for my sister, a comedy, sketch comedy show called A Bit of Fry and Laurie. You know Laurie.
Oh, yeah.
You know Laurie from House,
yeah.
And Fry, you know Stephen Fry as well, he's a writer too. They had a sketch comedy show together that is the funniest thing I've ever seen, and just this month is coming out seasons 1 and 2, and my sister and I quote it all the time.
That's great.
Hilarious.
I'm just going to borrow all of your DVDs at some point.
That's great. I've
come over to the library.
The library. Don't forget there is a new Enter the Dragon getting released this year with
really?
A bunch of extra stuff
scenes.
On it. New scenes. Has new scenes from Game of Death. Also has really, really cool stuff. A whole Bruce Lee documentary on the end of it. And
that's
great,
cool.
Great stuff. Not to mention they're putting out a remastered version of The Green Hornet.
We can't forget Superman Ultimate Collection. It has two versions of Superman 1, the Superman 2 regular and the Donner Cut.
Oh, yeah.
Superman 3 and 4.
I actually want to go to the theater and see the Donner Cut.
And Superman Returns, plus several discs of extras. Throw in a funky Marquette or something and it would be like the LOTR Extended Editions. That's a suggestion from H. Punster on the forums.
Cool.
So you have to get Superman 3 and 4.
Yeah, they kind of throw it in.
No.
They have those leftover ones. They just kind of
don't need Richard Pryor nor Sun God.
But they're all packed in there. You have to take them.
I'll give it to some kid in Target.
You don't have to watch it.
Give them to some undeveloped country.
Yeah.
They make great frisbees.
Exactly.
That too.
Moving on.
How about TV audio visual? I have a couple of those.
All right.
First of all, if anybody is out there going to buy a high-definition television... I'm not going to suggest any specific one because it really depends on what you're looking for. But may I suggest that you look for a 1080p monitor and maybe LCD. I know they're more expensive.
True 1080p?
True 1080p because it will last you longer in the long run. It's the highest resolution out there. And 5 years from now, you're not going to be wanting to upgrade your television again. Just putting that out there. I'm also suggesting the iPod Shuffle. It's awesome. That little clip thing. It's so teeny. It's only $70.
Isn't there a point where it's just too small though? I'd be afraid of losing that thing. Constantly.
It clips.
It clips at least.
What if it unclips?
It won't.
You'll never
it's
know
like a postage
because there's
stamp.
No weight.
I
you
know.
Won't feel it go away.
No, it's a great idea.
Stop.
Not if the music's not on.
By the way, according to a Twit podcast, the hardware in the Shuffle, the audio hardware, is actually better than the iPod, and you get better sound quality.
I heard that too.
Isn't that amazing?
Really?
I know. Yep. I told my sister that. She's like, I love my Shuffle.
I'm suggesting for people who have a Xbox 360, if you want to start watching HD movies, high definition movies, for only $200, you can buy the HDVD player. It's right now considered the best HDVD player out there. And you don't have to buy a new machine. You just hook it up to your Xbox 360. You can start watching the movies right now.
It's only like $200.
$200.
Cheap.
I'm also going to suggest the ultimate Swiss Army knife. This Swiss Army knife comes equipped with an audio player, voice recorder, USB stick, and radio.
Ooh,
wow.
It's like a new version.
Yes. So we'll put that up. I'll link to that.
For those of you who want to spend a little bit more money, the Sling Box. The Sling Box is a place-shifting device. The TiVo is a time-shifting device. This allows you to watch anything that's on your cable, TiVo, anything that's hooked up to your television remotely on a mobile phone or any computer that's hooked up to the internet.
Slick.
And then I'm also putting out there the LumaLab Evo Projector. Those of you who want to spend about $500 and have like outdoor movies in your backyard, which we do here, it's really a blast. This is a inexpensive video projector. That's the replacement bulb is very inexpensive, so you can play video games on it. And you know, 12
I was actually
wall.
Thinking you could set it up in your bathroom on the counter and have it project on the wall above you in the bathtub while you soak.
True, you could do that.
So you actually could have a TV in your bathroom.
Yep, that's all the audio visuals
so
I got out there.
I love that.
Should we?
I have one audio visual, another iPod accessory. Everybody who has an iPod needs to have a sort of shelf system or box or something portable that they can take with them that is a stereo to plug their iPod into because you want to share your music.
Uh-huh.
So I'm recommending the Altec Lansing IM7 portable audio system. Just take a gander.
Oh, yes.
It's shaped like a tube. It has subwoofers in the sides.
It's awesome.
It
looks really cool.
And the iPod doesn't sit in a slot like most of them. It sort of goes into a little contraption that then hinges into it. It's just a great design, and it got great reviews.
Yep. Very cool.
Also, don't forget the iGuy, which is the silliest gift in the entire world. It's basically the first bendable, posable friend for you and your iPod. It fits around the iPod, and he's got arms and a butt and everything like that.
And he holds it for you?
No, he actually becomes your iPod. Your iPod
is the body.
Arms and the legs and the butt come off of the iPod.
So my iPod is a little person.
It becomes a little person.
I get it.
Yeah. Perfect. Let's do gadgets next.
Yeah, right. This fits into that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So this is gadgets.
This is stocking
stuffers.
Let's call it
gadgets and novelties.
Yeah. Okay. Gadgets and novelties.
Okay. Do you remember in Monty Python and the Holy Grail, the bunny rabbit?
Yes.
The killer rabbit?
Yes.
Well, this is the disguised killer rabbit. It looks like a normal bunny rabbit until you open its mouth, revealing the gaping fangs and the eyes turn red.
That's awesome.
No way.
Okay. So,
bring out the holy hand grenade.
Yeah. It does not come with a holy hand grenade, so use at your own risk.
Thou shalt
can you
count
buy that separately?
To one, to three,
no.
And not to four.
But I'm going to pass it around because I think it's really cute.
One, two, four.
Four. Ah!
That's really scary.
That's awesome.
I also, I don't know if you guys have ever used an Airzooka.
Oh, okay? Yes.
But those things are so bizarre and yet so much fun. You can shoot people from like 30 feet away. And
yeah, with air.
Like, and no one else, I mean, it's like, it's a strong feeling of being hit by something. It doesn't hurt, but it's like, what the hell was that from across the room? And
it's pretty accurate.
It really is pretty accurate. It's really wild to watch, like, you hit smoke or something. There's like, you know, anything like that. It's a lot of fun, and it's really totally annoying, and it's great just for that reason.
Get it for your child.
I have the VTraveler Skype phone. This is really cool. This is a $30 phone that you plug in. It's USB. You plug into your computer, and it instantly accesses your Skype account, which you have to pay for. But I think if you buy the phone, it gives you like 2 months free. And then you can make long-distance calls from anywhere.
Yep.
You can be anywhere around the world, and as long as you can just USB in, you have an internet connection.
That's cool.
You can call, get the same numbers and everything for free. Very cool.
I have the red stapler, a la Office Space. Excuse me, I think you have my stapler. The movie Office Stapler, Office Space is required watching for geeks, and you can now get specifically the red stapler from Office Space.
You'll always know which stapler is yours.
Because it's the red stapler.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yep. There's also the Trek Tech Classic Phaser. Which is the original 2-in-1 design with detachable mini hand phaser, authentic action lights and sound, and adjustable power settings.
Yeah, that's cool.
I have the desktop carnivorous plant set. It has 10 types of carnivorous plants that you can grow. And
like Venus flytraps?
Oh, yes, and feed.
All right, that's not a gadget.
It's got the Venus flytrap.
That's cool.
It is if you're an evil genius.
Yellow trumpet, the hooded pitcher plant. And others. So I'm going to pass this around so people can look at it.
I have the flying alarm clock. This is what I definitely need. For about $40, $39.95.
Is this one that crawls around your room?
No, this, it doesn't. Kinda. It's an alarm clock that's got this helicopter propeller thing that when it rings, it flies off and lands somewhere in your room. The only way to turn the alarm clock off is to find the propeller
and put it back on.
So those of you, the geeks out there who sleep through alarm clocks,
that's great.
Or keep hitting snooze.
I have a ceiling fan. That could be bad.
This is perfect for you.
I would set it up so that it would fly off and hit you.
My cat would love it.
Yeah, hit you in the head. Yeah. I'm also putting the digital frames, picture frames are coming down in price and they're getting larger, and they're wireless. So you can put a picture frame. Actually, you can give this to like your grandmother that wirelessly links to an internet site, and then you can change the pictures for her. So she could be across the country and you can load in new family pictures for her, which is awesome.
All right. Do you find that you're pooping out towards the end of your D&D episode you're playing or your GURPS or whatever?
Yes, Matt. What do I do?
You can get Skyrocket caffeinated syrups, which are very simple. If you live on a steady diet of pizza, caffeine, ice cream, Skyrocket will meet your geek need for caffeine in a big way. You know, basically, it's this small packet of syrup that is highly condensed caffeine. Oh, it'll keep you wired for a long, long time.
On a similar note, for, the discriminating D&D player who's just tired of the same old humdrum coffee, perhaps your beloved one might like Sibbit coffee. I have a website here where for coffee lovers who can get Sibbit coffee. That is coffee beans, prime coffee beans that have been eaten by a civet cat and passed out of its system. These are collected and cleaned and then repackaged and sold as considered to be one of the best, most gourmet types of coffees that you can drink.
Who thought of this originally?
The way it works is
they eat the coffee cherry and they can't digest the bean inside. And something in their digestive enzymes makes it a better coffee. I don't know what.
Ew.
Okay, that's totally disgusting.
I'm so thirsty.
It's a stocking stuffer.
It's a cat stuffer.
I have the Ninja remote.
Okay.
And if you look at this, it's about twice the size of a quarter. And what it does is, as you pass by any TV, you hold down a button until it mutes. Till the TV mutes. So it's trying all these different
things. The mute codes.
And once it figures out, once the TV mutes, you know you've got it. And then you can sit there and you can change the channel, mess with the volume, do all sorts of things. And the person has no idea you're doing it because it's so tiny it fits in your hand and you're just kind of doing it behind your back.
Very clever.
Very cute.
This is something I think I might ask for this Christmas because I've been wanting to maybe go geocaching. Mm-hmm. Is a portable GPS. They're really coming down in price. You can even buy them for under $100. Again, I'm not going to suggest any specific one.
I need that.
Because there's all sorts of things you can buy, like just ones for boating, ones for your car, and one for hiking. But here's some tips. Check out the screen size, because there's some with really small screens. Make sure they have a rocker pad on there so you can select, so you can select menus and stuff really easily. Get at least one with at least 8 megabytes of memory or expandable memory cards so you can hold maps and data in there. And finally, just check out the battery life.
My dad's got a Garmin one,
mm-hmm.
and he loves it. And we were going on a hike up a mountain. And about every minute he'd go,
you know what height we are at?
Yeah, now? Guess what elevation we're at now? hey, we've gone 3.2 miles.
Yeah, 2150.
How far do you think we've gone so far now?
Yeah, we're 100 feet higher than we were before.
Then we pushed him off the mountain and haven't seen him since.
No. All right, so since we've kind of combined stocking stuffer with the gadgets, I wanted to bring up the Frigits Deluxe Kit. These are refrigerator magnets that have little spinners and all these crazy things for a marble. You drop a you kind of build an obstacle.
This is like mousetrap.
This is like mousetrap. You drop a marble on the top of your
refrigerator.
Your refrigerator, and it drops and goes through all these crazy pathways.
That's hilarious. So fun.
I love it.
My cat would attack $30 my fridge.
Great.
Of course, there's the Power Squid Outlet Multiplier. If you've had problems underneath your computer with putting your big honking, you know, capacitor. Power packs, yeah. capacitor, this, that, and the other thing, it's the Power Squid. It offers 5 flexible grounded adapter-ready outlets, a 4-foot power cord, and master switch, and it's awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Good idea.
Yeah.
I have a computer-controlled rocket launcher. This is
Sign
the
me up.
USB rocket launcher.
It's from Osama.com.
It's fairly large. It launches like, it looks like maybe 8-inch rockets. I'm not sure.
USB rocket launcher.
But you plug it into your computer and you can control it from your desktop. It'll turn and spin and aim and you shoot.
I need to buy the USB button that they have to make for this. That's this giant red fire button.
Absolutely. Yeah. It must come with that. But just in case you're interested, it comes in pairs too. So you could share one with a friend in the office
and
have wars across the QA department.
I wonder if you could install this on that new robot, you know, that you can walk, you know, the robot, you can get it to punch things, you can get it to dance.
You can shoulder
mount it or something like that and then launch.
Awesome. I'm bringing up the Alien Egg and Facehugger plushie.
Oh,
for $30, it's this little stuffed animal, which is from the Alien series, a cool little egg, and out of the egg comes a little facehugger plushie.
Cute little facehugger.
Along similar lines, I actually have a little mini Cthulhu plushie, right, that sits on my computer at work, and I love it, and I was going to suggest, you could do that. But when I went online to look for it, I found, you can buy a few of those. But there's this treasure trove of other Cthulhu plushie stuff out there. Now, I'm not suggesting a link where you can buy any of these. What I'm supplying you with a link with is a link to Toy Vault, where you can see what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So some of the great things that are in there is Superhero Cthulhu plushie, the Nyarlathotep plushie, Deep One plushie, Cthulhu Backpack, Cthulhu Hand Puppet, Cthulhu Dressed as Elvis, Cthulhu Plush Slippers.
That's what happened to Elvis.
My Secret Agent Cthulhu Plushie, Nightgaunt Plush, Moonbeast, Gug, Miskatonic University Graduate Cthulhu Plushie.
Mini Santa
Plushie. Cthulhu Plush Hat is what you made me think of a minute ago. It looks like Cthulhu is sitting on your head eating your head.
Kick ass.
Brain
sucker.
Really, really nice stuff. Also on there is something else that I thought was pretty cool is the Necronomicon pillow. which is definitely worth checking
out. You're like in your sleep going, Klaatu, Verata, Nictu, Klaatu, Verata.
I have the Annoyatron.
All of yours are like how to annoy people.
Oh, I get so much pleasure out of this. You
clearly,
no,
you're saying a lot about yourself.
So what this does is it's a tiny little device that you can hide anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And every 2 to 8 minutes, it lets out a little beep. Okay?
God!
It's a random thing. And you could, of course, get more than one of them if you really want to have some fun with it. Okay?
Oh, my God.
It's like that cricket you can't find that's somewhere in your house.
And you can set it to different frequencies depending on how annoying you want them to be.
Oh, my God. You could get 6 of them and get those little Velcro stickies and just put them under movie theater seats.
Oh, God. That's so cruel.
That is just cruel.
Spank your ass.
You're like, beep, beep. What the fuck?
I'm not sure if this fits under books or under novelty, so I'm sticking it under novelty. The Gospel of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
What?
Available
it's
on
available?
Amazon.com.
That's great. So we
I want to be an apostle.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the spaghetti monster.
I have been touched by his wet noodle.
This is something that's been out for a while, but I've always kind of secretly wanted one. But the Star Wars lightsabers.
FX lightsabers.
You can still get them. They light up. They make sounds when you crash them together. They're about $120 a piece. You can find them online.
They're endorsed by Lucas, so they're cool.
They're very cool.
I have a park saber, which is a bit more money, but you can whack them. Meaning they're designed not to break. Yes. You can actually have it do.
Can you power them up and down?
They don't. Well, the one I have doesn't go up and down. It doesn't have sound effects. But mine is a couple years old.
But you can whack it.
Yeah, you can whack it. It's indestructible.
Wow.
And
I don't know about that.
It's beautiful to look at.
Wow.
I can destruct those things pretty well. There's also the Wolverine versus Sabretooth diorama. If you're interested in sort of collectibles and stuff like that, it's a beautiful, beautiful diorama of Wolverine and Sabretooth in the snow fighting from the X-Men movies.
Cool.
I was at the last role-playing convention, and there was a company there that was selling like plush weapons that you can go and LARP with, but they looked like they were made out of metal. Battle axes, swords, morning stars, they all had this cool shiny veneer to them that were still soft that looked like rusted metal and all sorts of stuff. So I'll put a link to that. They're really freaking cool. Anything else?
I just realized I forgot to attribute the person who suggested the Necronomicon was Ack from the forums.
Cool.
I have, in the category of toys, since I guess we're there, I brought for you guys to see what I think is the ultimate geek gift.
This is so cool.
It's the ultimate thing for moi.
Did you get these from Japan?
Well, this one I actually ordered, so okay. I can tell people how to get it. But,
that's which? That's the...
I have a giant, foot tall at least, Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, that's
Colossus
cool.
Action figure. Did you see this, Matt?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, it's gorgeous. I got it from PlayAsia.com, and it even includes the little tiny... hero at the bottom.
I wish you all could have seen the expression on her face when we asked if she could take it out of the box so we could see it.
No box taking out.
Mm-mm. No.
Mint in box.
That character on the bottom left is elephant in Chinese.
Oh, is that right?
It's elephant.
That makes sense. Like a colossus, I mean, that it's makes total sense.
Size.
That's so
yep.
cool. You can read that.
Mm-hmm.
We have anything else?
Last but not least, in the season, charities. This is not... a charity I'm necessarily endorsing. I have not researched the charity. I don't know how good they are at doing what they claim to do. But Moth from the forum suggested heifer.org.
We've bought several things from them. Apparently they're pretty good. Maureen's done some research
on
them. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now, what heifer.org is you get to go on there and you can buy livestock for needy, starving families in third world countries.
Huh.
So you can buy a water buffalo if you want.
Or you can buy bees.
Yeah, which is like $500. Or you can buy three rabbits mm-hmm. or bees or you know, like a honey collecting kit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's stuff of all prices that you can do.
Can you buy an attack tiger for a small village or... I'm just saying.
They actually
mock the charity, Matt.
Mock the charity. They do have the attack tiger. We're sending it to your house.
The cool thing about this is that they deliver the livestock. They teach them how to keep it alive and use it successfully. And then there's a the condition is that the firstborn of the livestock has to be. They have to give it to somebody else, and they have to teach them.
Huh,
so it's
cool.
Kind of pay it forward type of charity, yeah. Which is a great idea.
So I was very impressed with the selection of stuff. They go to a lot of different places and some of the thought that went into their gift choices.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't afford a water buffalo, because, you know, water buffaloes can be a little pricey, you can buy a part of a water buffalo.
Or you can buy a chick, a baby chick
yeah,
or something.
Whatever
like that.
You want.
Yeah.
One bee.
Yes.
You know, so if 10 people buy a part of a water buffalo, then a family gets a water buffalo.
Excellent.
Wow.
Very cool.
Do they get it all at once or in the pieces?
God.
Mock the charity.
I would also like to recommend, since it's brought me thousands of hours of gaming fun, to support Palladium Books this season.
Well, you're still on that crusade.
I still am.
This does fall under the charity category.
They definitely need charity. They're, you know, they did get embezzled from, and it was nasty. They're coming out with a few books, Riff's Mindworks 3rd Edition, Riff's Mad Haven, which is a great book, and Riff's Mercs and the Mercs Source
Book.
Didn't
you just buy
Yes. Have they put out Riff Santa vs. the Martians yet?
No.
Okay. They've got everything else.
Yeah.
Okay. Mock the charity.
Mock the charity, Don. Mock the geek charity.
All righty. For God's sake, if you there's nothing...
Oh, wait. Doesn't Lisa have to finish on her Japanese stocking stuffer there?
Oh, well...
Come on. You have to read it. You have to read it.
You do have a Japanese stocking stuffer.
I have one Japanese stocking stuffer, but I bought this in Japan. I recently went to Japan, took a nice trip there, and let me just tell you, it's Geek Heaven over there. So I brought back a lot of weird gadgets, one of which I gave to you, Aaron, your miniature planetarium, which is... it's literally a miniature planetarium. Oh, yeah!
My Star Wars at miniature.
Excellent.
But the one I brought for today does not have a name, but it's from a company called Spoonful. And the tagline is, happiness for one cup of spoon.
Happiness for one cup of spoon.
Happiness for one cup of spoon.
You have to read the text on the box because it's all English.
When I live, I feel an important thing again. Time to spin in cities. Time of a time before sleeping. Feel wind and let's make comfortable airspace. I feel only wind, and it is a new wind bell playing a sound by the wind pressure. Please feel the world of the sound that wind plays.
Okay, this is the thing. And now,
it's
when you read
electronic
that,
chime,
yes, you have no idea what that means, right?
No.
But what they're trying to say is, it responds to air pressure blow into there.
Oh, it's. It really it is
really
a chime.
Does. It's a wind, it's an electronic wind chime, but it has six different sounds, and some of them are very funky. It's like clanking. Here, you can blow into it.
You blow into different parts.
No, it's in that front thing. Yeah.
Okay, that's
so
weird.
So
how do you change the? How do you change
that's,
the?
And
so
by the same company, I got my sister a thing that's boxed just like that, except it projects the phases of the moon on your wall.
Do you have to blow into that one?
But it only works at night. It's lunar powered, so if the moonlight isn't hitting it, it doesn't
work. Yeah, forget about it.
Strange, strange, strange.
Anyway, so Japan was a hoot.
Crazy
Japanese. Plenty of geek gift ideas from Geeks On.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Let's also suggest some of the John Wick role playing game stuff, which was interesting, cheap, and
wonderful.
Relatively
cat.
Cool.
Yeah, we had a link last week to it, so yeah, I was definitely.
We'll keep it up there.
He's got one about gods that I was just reading about. I can't remember the name of it, unfortunately. You could see it on his site.
Can you play a god?
It looked you play heroes and gods.
Oh, that's cool.
And you know your gods. You know, anyway, it looked really neat. I was reading some of the ideas in it, and I was like, wow, this is really cool.
I think we're going to get him in here soon, so he'll be able to talk about all that type of stuff.
Yeah, we're going to have an interesting lineup next year. We've got some very strange and unusual guests already lined up.
Excellent. We'll see whether or not we can get the ones that I really want.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. You want all of our guests, Matt.
I want all of our guests. No, of course. Yeah.
He's got a special list he's trying to get.
I got a special list. So I'm really
secret. All righty. Since we have a long episode again, we should wrap this up. So, anyway, I hope... are we going to have one before the holidays?
We'll try to get one more out before Christmas.
All right, we'll try, but don't hold your breath.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays,
Yay!
Everybody.
Happy holidays! And holiday.
Bye.
Hanukkah. Festival of Lights.
Kwanzaa.
Geek Kwanzaa.
Geek Kwanzaa?
All right, so we want to do a quick geek review on the Goblins comic, which is made by Terrell Hunt, who is going to kick my butt because I'm not sure how to pronounce Terrell.
Terrell?
Not Terrell. Terrell.
Okay.
Maybe rhymes with Carol. I'm not sure. But Goblins is an online webcomic. We will put a link up to it on our site that has been running for over a year now, I believe.
Yes,
a little over a year.
Easily.
Now, for those of you who are gamers, you will get the humor. For those of you who are Dungeons & Dragons player, you will pee yourself over some of the humor. Easily one of the funniest webcomics out there. Now, why buy... Now, this is always the question that everyone has. Like, wow, there's, you know, all of these free comics. Look at all the time and effort this man has put online into this amazingly funny comic. Why buy the book? Well, there are several different reasons. One, the book is fully colored. Most of the online comics up to a certain point were not colored.
Yep.
So the quality of the book is actually a step higher than what you see on the webcomic.
Yep. There are extra stuff at the end that he's put on.
Yeah. Print only. You know, only available through the print version. There are two short episodes at the end that are great. They're really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Additional extras. Now,
and it's a great collectible.
Yep. Now, the webcomic has been running strong for quite some time. The printed version that we're holding in our hot little hands right now does not come up to the current date. So it's a great way to kind of catch up to everything on the online comic. It's interesting also to read this because I think the online comic has changed in tone since this started. The writer is currently turning a little bit more seriously. And it's nice to see some of the earlier humor that gave birth to everything.
Right.
Well, I think he's still doing some of that humor. It's just...
he's less farcical.
He's doing... I think it's still there. He's just doing more story...
It's more story-based humor rather than, you know, making jokes about characters, you know, laying in the corner and bitching because they're -7 hit points,
yes.
-8 hit points, -9 hit points.
Yes.
Right.
You know?
But, you know, I'll tell you, it was a great deal of fun for me. I mean, I've been a huge and passionate fan of this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I adore going and finding a new update. And it was great fun for me to go back and reread some of this because I had forgotten some of the great jokes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I just forgot. I mean, it's just so funny. It's like
yes.
there's a whole section where, you know, there are the, for anyone, everyone's aware of Drizzt Do'Urden.
Drizzt is, yeah, Drizzt, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the...
from the popular line of... Dungeons and Dragons books.
Yeah. So there's all these characters that are knockoffs of him, imitating him.
Yes.
And it's just hysterical because, of course, everyone did that. I mean, everyone had these characters that, you know.
If you've for God's sakes, anything. There's a character named Min-Max who's like my favorite because I'm a big munchkin, so.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
So it's just great. It's a ton of fun. I really like this a lot.
So how much is this going for? I think it's $25 online.
Definitely. And get it.
Very much worth your money. It's just a joy to read.
Yep.
Cool. 137 pages long.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, to give you an idea of how much he packed in here, you know how you have the cover where you never put anything on the inside cover? The comic actually continued onto the back cover just because he put in so much.
Yep.
You know?
Huh. It's cool.
You get your money's worth. Give it a shot.
Cover to cover, literally.
Literally. And it's fun, and he's a part of the Geeks On community as well. So.
And we will put the link on our site.
Absolutely.
Cool.